Another edition of Pittsburgh Pop here at Trib Live. Tim Benz and Rob Owen, as always, your weekly slice of pop culture. Rob, good to catch up with you. How you been? How was your week?
It was extremely busy. There's been a lot going on in TV land.
Yeah, mine was very busy as well. Our retrospective piece in the 1993 Pittsburgh Penguins, the loss in the David Volek game. I worked really, really hard on that. Kevin Stevens was a great interview about his injury in that game and his life after the injury in that game. Really well received, and Kevin was fantastic to take that time to speak with me about it. Joining us, though, today, we have a special guest for today's Pittsburgh Pop. One of my favorite people ever in the Pittsburgh television industry. I'm blessed to have worked with her for a time over at Channel 4. And Rob, I think you would feel fortunate to have interviewed her many times as well.
Absolutely.
She is the queen of Pittsburgh television news. It is Sally Wiggin, formerly of WTAE. Sally, I'm glad to have you on again. I mean, I feel like I'm actually technically in the DVE studios today. I'm across the street from the DVE studios. Every now and then we're on the air together at DVE, but this is fun for me. I'm very excited about this.
For me to be able to talk to people, I mean, since I've been retired and I mean, you retire and then COVID happens and then you're alone and the only contact you have is something like this, is Zooming. And I still panic when I have to, you know, talk to people on Zoom or even on a phone. It's been interesting because I found that I never really enjoyed my own company because I thought I was a jerk. I still do. I have a horrible opinion of myself, very low self-esteem, but I learned to kind of like myself being alone. The one thing I've done is watch a lot of television. But one of the things I've changed about it, I always felt if I started something, I needed to finish it. I don't do that anymore. If I watch a couple of episodes and I don't like it, I don't watch it anymore. I don't feel that I'm going to fall into some horrible rabbit hole if I don't finish something I started.
Welcome to my world, Sally, because I used to be a completist also. And
a completist.
There's so much. Yeah, I was a completist.
I didn't know that was a word. I like a completist.
I would finish it. And then streaming came along, and I can't even watch every show, review every new show, let alone stick with them all. So I have also learned to cut bait on shows that aren't doing it for me.
Yeah, I think I was a completist. Most recent time I was completed, so I don't know if you saw this movie, Sally, The Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh.
Did you see that?
Oh, my God. No. I loved it, and I found it heartbreaking and hilarious.
I thought the first 25 minutes were great, and then I'm like, what am I watching, and why am I still watching it?
No, do you know what? I felt the same way, but then I had a whole different set of emotions, and when it was over, I thought, oh my God, that is exactly a portrait of that part of the world. Those characters summed up what that part of the world is.
Oh, well, the postcard part of Ireland, like, you know, that sort of
But I mean also the way people think there, it's why some of the greatest writers in the world have come out of that region.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
That's a good point. Are you traveling much? You've always been a world traveler. Where are you traveling these days?
I just got back from India for the third
time. Oh, nice.
My third visit there. And I brought with me an amazing gift. Well, I first got it there, then it went away, and then it came back. It's called Giardia. It's a little parasite that's in water. And I lost 10 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't gained it back. So, yes, I've been traveling. But it was still awesome. I mean, it's really wonderful to be challenged by a cow elephant with a calf in the grass who wants you to go away, and being really close to tigers and watching races by crazy tourists and their guides bumping your car to move you out of the way so they can get a photo. It was a group of British photographers. They literally slammed our Jeep with theirs.
Whoa. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that, but yeah, so life has not been dull. It's not been dull. And I, I go back to, in the winter, I'll go to Churchill, Manitoba to see polar bears, which are one of my favorite besides elephants. And I do a lot of work with the zoo. I help feed penguins a couple of days a week. I'm on other nonprofits, but it's interesting, as you retire, you think you have more time. You become very jealous of your time. So I have come off a number of boards that I didn't feel I was serving well. So that you begin, you know, what's interesting, with more time, you would think you would expand. Instead, you contract because you realize you don't have that much time on this earth left. So you want to enjoy what time you have.
Do you miss being a news anchor at all?
You know what I miss? I miss, Tim, I'll appreciate this. I miss covering sports because that's why I went into this business. You know that, Rob. I've talked to you about it. I went into the business to cover sports, and then I saw that I would probably make more money. And it was also just hard then for women. I do miss that. I miss that. And I miss interviewing interesting people. Those are the two things I miss. I do not miss being on TV. No.
Sally, we had Heather Abraham on not too long ago talking about her new show, which starts at what time, Rob? 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Sally, if you had come into this business 40 years later, like Heather, you would have been on the air from 1 p.m. until 12 a.m. They would have figured out a way to put you on TV for 10 hours a day at Channel 4. I have no doubt. Like, seriously, I think if you came along in this era, if you were a peer of like Heather's age, they would have done that for you. And if you don't want to be on TV anymore right now, you would be on TV like 7 hours a day. They would have figured out how to do that.
I find it, you know, I guess because they can sell advertising during all of those times. And I didn't know that because I don't, the only television I watch, it's interesting. I watch drama, comedy. I watch ESPN from morning until night.
That's funny because I watch ESPN less than I ever did.
I don't know why. It makes me feel safe. I don't want to watch news. I don't. I do read it. I read it. I read The Atlantic. I read a lot of news articles online. I don't watch a lot of news on television. I almost watch no local news. I don't know. ESPN is just in the background when I'm doing work. When
you
I'm
feel, you know, safe watching ESPN, are you not watching the Pirates highlights?
No. Do you know what? I can't believe you're saying this. I'm becoming interested in baseball again. I don't know why. It was the first sport that I loved. I played softball.
Yeah,
I married a former Major League Baseball player, you know, and he helped coach me. And then I have to say, I love the NFL. I do. I know a lot of people hate it.
Didn't you used to play with the Channel 4 All-Stars team with like Guy Junker and Steigerwald and those guys?
I did. The last time I played, it was a horrible experience. It wasn't with the No Stars. No, we played against a team that Ben Roethlisberger was on, Hines Ward. It was a Hines Ward charity thing. So it was like a celebrity. And I was in, was it right field? It's the place where you put people who aren't very good.
Well, was this the game I played with you?
You had, and I missed a fly ball and Ben started, you know, making fun of me from the dugout. It was one of the most humiliating experience. And I love Ben. It was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life because I missed the ball. Like I lost it in the sun and I dropped it.
If this is the same game I'm thinking of, this is the one in Washington, right, Sally? At the Wild Things Park?
No, one that, it wasn't in Washington. It was
this
actually
different game.
Before the one in Washington.
Oh, okay. All
I
right.
did
so,
play in that one. So.
Rob, I was playing right center next to Sally. Sally was playing right field, and she said, Tim, move over this way. Move over this way. I said, well, Sally, this is a right-handed hitter, so I'm going to move. No. And then the lefty came up and hit the ball over her head.
Were we playing Penguins?
No, it was Steelers. It was the Steelers.
You were playing Steelers? Okay.
Yeah. I remember Chris Hoke. It was like, I think it was like 2005-ish, something like that. Yeah.
Oh my God. I was actually quasi middle-aged then. I wasn't ancient. I was middle-aged. God. No, but I hear what you're saying about Heather and, well, they're doing it, you know, at our place. But did you hear me say that?
Yes.
I just said, did you hear lapsed. That, Rob?
Yeah.
I did.
You did.
I said it. My
possessive
old habits die hard.
They do. Well, you know what? I've gone back. I've rarely gone back. Almost maybe once or twice. I went back for the retirement of one of our editors who was brilliant. He's won Peabody's, Emmys. A guy named Mike Lazorka. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I absolutely know that name. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the first time I actually felt a little wistful. Not just wistful, but I kind of was happy to see some people. I mean, it wasn't, and I thought, you had some good times here. You had good years here. You know, it took a while to shake off the barnacles. And, yeah. So anyway, enough of me. So what are you guys doing? What are you guys watching? And.
Well, I'm curious sort of what, if your relationship with scripted television has changed over the years, and I'm betting it has, because often I know people who work in television don't have time to watch television. So my first question is, are you watching more TV now than before you retire?
I'm watching more drama and comedy.
Yes.
I what I just said, I read news, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about scripted stuff. Are you
scripted,
watching
scripted? Okay, scripted, yeah. I would say I'm watching it, but now I'm a Rotten Tomatoes freak. If somebody is in something, especially if it's a handsome man that I have a crush on, it's so pathetic, but that's what old women do. I will watch it even if it's a splat. I'll watch as low as 20%.
Did you ever watch The Morning Show? Did you get into that at all?
No. You know why I didn't want to watch it?
No handsome men?
No, I did not need to watch something that would make me feel like I was a failure. Because I always felt that I should have taken the job in New York at WCBS. And I didn't.
When was that?
Job. That was in 1986. I was being offered a noon anchor job. I was the leading candidate. And that very afternoon that I was interviewing there, they offered me the main job at WTAE. I had been passed over 6 months before. It changed my, it was the road not taken. And I'm very honest, it was a mistake. I made a mistake. I mean, I would never have gotten to cover sports. I would never have gotten to cover the Steelers or the Penguins or the Pirates. And I'm very grateful that I met amazing human beings that I adore and that I love. And I'm deeply involved in the nonprofit. But actually, professionally, it was a mistake. It was, and I'm honest about it.
But I never would have met you then, Sally. So, you know,
I know, but I did get to cover sports, and it's unlikely that I would have covered sports if I'd gone in that direction. So,
how about Succession? You still watching that?
Yes, but I'm
did
getting
you see it last night yet or no?
Yeah, I know. I saw it and I'm really disturbed. They're making it too disturbing.
Too disturbing.
Did you see last night's yet, Tim?
Yeah.
I didn't yet because I did not because you I knew if we were going to do Rob and I were of the thought, Sally, at first that when we timed out this interview, it might be the finale when we had you on.
I was wrong. About
and,
that.
And then I was going to watch it, but I just got so busy with other stuff. We had people over for Mother's Day and whatnot that I didn't.
Well,
have
can
time
Rob
to
and
watch.
I talk about it? Will it up?
Yeah, that's all right. I'm not big on. I need the spoilers. So go ahead. You guys can talk about whatever.
So the one thing that I thought was really interesting this season on the show, and I had noticed it prior to this episode, but this episode really sealed the deal, is that in all the other seasons of Succession, the notion of ATN, this news network Roy's own, has always sort of been there in the background, but we haven't spent a ton of time at ATN.
No, you're right.
This season, though, you know, we had Logan down on the floor of ATN.
Yeah, they put the phone books down for him to stand on and all that, give him the speech.
I was like, that's interesting. We've never been there before. Did they shoot this at some shuttered news operation or did they actually build a set? But it would be a lot to build a set for one episode. But then they come back in this episode and it was all about ATN and all about the election that's happening, which has, again, been lingering in the background on the show. But here it came to the fore. It is very much sort of a funhouse mirror image of the 2020 election and the coverage of that. where, except in this, you have the Roys sort of putting their finger on the scale in favor of their preferred candidate who's going to help their business interests. And it was kind of one of those things that you watch with your hands over your eyes,
yeah,
sort of
yeah.
like peeking between your fingers, because
hoping that somebody steps in and does the right thing.
Exactly.
And you know what? There are people walking the line to do the right thing, and you see them, and it's surprising who it is who really wants to do the right thing, because I didn't think she had it in her.
Yes. And then of course it all goes back. And they make the venal choices and not the ethical or moral or for the benefit of democracy choices.
See, Sally, that's why you were probably better staying in Pittsburgh anyway, because you could have gotten sucked into that vortex if you had gone on network news in 1986.
Yeah.
No, but it's what you choose. No, wait, I'm blanking. Why am I it's Kendall Shiv. Why am I blanking on the
Roman?
Other?
Roman.
Roman, thank you.
Yes.
Roman, I thought he would be a savior.
I did too. I was surprised.
They switched his personality, or we never really knew who he was.
So here's the thing: Roman has always been a weasel, but he's
really.
Always,
do you think so?
Yes, oh, yeah. but I've always felt like of the three of them, he sort of had a little bit of a compassionate heart beating there.
And but that, I thought he was genuine.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's genuine on that show.
I don't know. I feel like there are times where I feel like he has been genuine, but I also think he is sort of so desperate to prove himself that he's willing to let that get in the way of, I don't know, any decency within.
Well, I think he's by far the most interesting and most funny of the three kids.
Yes.
I think the action moves the most when he's involved in a scene. And like going back to the very first episode ever, remember when they were playing softball with like the workers were playing softball and he like gave the dad $1 million to strike out or something like that. You know, like I'll buy my way into the situation that I want. He just looked like a total dink from day one. But I think they realized very early in the show that he's got the most latitude. There's the most range in that character, which is why Sally probably and Rob, like we've got a difference of opinion as to who he is, because they've given him the most. They've given him the most range, I think.
I think that's right. But I also think he is in such a bad state right now that sort of justifies the actions that he took in last night's episode. And frankly, the week before when he fires Jerry. I mean, the Roman that we've seen, who's clearly got something feelings for Jerry, would not have done that. But I think his desperation sort of has informed his arc this season.
Here's what I realized last week, and maybe I said it to you when we were emailing back and forth, Rob, or maybe I said it to somebody else who's watching it. This is now, in this final season, is just a moving photograph of how damaged they all are. I mean, really damaged. They're all narcissistic. They don't know how to be empathetic. They can't, because of the way they were raised. They weren't actually loved. They were, you know, they were possessions. So they don't know. And it's so funny to watch Shiv last night show that she actually had some heart.
Yes.
And that her husband doesn't.
Well, yeah, that right. scene, the argument scene during the tailgate.
Oh,
at the end of last week.
Yeah.
That scene reminded me of, I don't know if you guys remember this movie, with Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver. What was that one? The divorce. It was basically like Kramer versus Kramer for the 2020s.
Oh, Marriage. It's called the Marriage.
Yeah.
Marriage.
Whatever it was.
It was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, it got a bunch of Oscar nominations.
Yeah,
like that
the
big
Marriage Story. Wasn't it called Marriage Story?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
They had that climactic.
God, I still got a memory.
They have that climactic argument scene in that just goes on and on for like 10 minutes. That reminded me of the argument scene in Succession 2 weeks ago. And anybody who's been married, anybody who's been in a significant relationship, you have one of those arguments that goes on for like 10 minutes and it ceases being about any topic except for the argument itself. And like, I thought
well,
that was.
It also shows that you can actually hate somebody that you exchanged vows, with whom you exchanged vows. I mean, it may not be a lasting hate, but in those moments, you hate them. I've been there. Trust me. I've been there, but I never won the arguments. Yeah, I know that's hard to believe, but in that state, in that part of my life, when I was married, I probably shouldn't say this, but I don't think that person can hear this. I don't know. It was bad. I know what it's like. It was so uncomfortable for me to watch it.
Yeah. That was a tough scene to get through.
But what is really even more difficult for me, and I may not be pronouncing his name right, Matthew, is it McFadden?
McFadden, I think. Something
McFadden.
Like
I was in love with him. In love with him when he was Mr. Darcy. Do you know how many times I've seen Pride and Prejudice? Why am I blanking on her name?
Was it the Keira Knightley version?
It was Keira Knightley. I watched that. But I also went back and watched the series with Colin Firth.
Right.
And with a forgettable actress. But that Keira Knightley, I have that. You know, I've watched that film probably 30 times because of him. I was in love with him. So I started watching this because of him. And he's so terrible. And they say he's the nicest person in the world. They say that when it's over, everybody loves him. He's such a nice guy.
Jamie's watching Queen Charlotte right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting ready to watch it.
It's much better than the original Bridgerton.
Sally, it's X-rated. I don't know.
Really?
Yes, it's very steamy.
Frontal nudity?
More rear nudity with a guy. King George gets naked. I can tell you that. And then, are you watching, Rob? How up to date are you on this?
I saw the first two.
It's like they're very selectively dropping in what was true in history. Like, yeah, I guess this King George went crazy, right? Or something like that.
Oh, no, that Mad King George. Absolutely. Yeah. And he was the king when the American Revolution happened. Am I right, Rob?
I think that's right. Because
I don't know which King George this is.
Yeah, I was going to say he's the one in Hamilton. Yeah,
that's the same King George, right? Am I right?
I think so. But
because in his song, he said, I'll go mad.
Right, right. He did say that in the song. You're right.
Real quick, Rob, because we're running out of time here, but I want you and Sally to give, I don't know if either of you have seen these, but I know you have updates. You wrote about it in the Trib, the Netflix series, starring Barack Obama with a number of scenes filmed here in Pittsburgh, and also James Harrison's series that he's in, clearly in Pittsburgh. James Harrison is more important than Barack Obama. So I don't know which one you want to go with first.
I'll start with James Harrison.
Okay. All right.
So James Harrison, sort of moved into acting even before he left the Steelers, but particularly since retiring from football. And he was in the first season of Heels, which is a Starz series about wrestlers in a small southern town. And he had a character that he played as a series regular in season one. They announced the show's coming back in July for its second season, but I noticed he wasn't in the cast list. So I checked in with my friends at Starz and they confirmed that yes, indeed, his character is not back. There is no explanation for where he's gone to, which is a little unusual, but not entirely. Here's what I think happened, and this is just purely speculation on my part, but his character was never developed that well in season one. And that is a show that has at least 17 characters. And I think that they just had to bait on a character that the writers never served particularly well. So that's my guess as to what happened there. As far as
working,
Use Wednesday on Netflix. It is a docuseries that is produced by Barack Obama's company. They produce a lot of programming now. This one actually features Obama in it. He came to Pittsburgh for a day in late spring of 2022 to do interviews with some of the folks they follow in Pittsburgh. The series is sort of about how people work, the jobs they do. It's inspired by the Studs Terkel book, also called Working, from the mid-70s. And it's a smart thing the way they do it. They sort of like try to find people sort of at a single company at the lower rung and then sort of move up and interview, you know, the manager and then the owner. And so you're getting this view of how people work from different strata, different working classes. And I thought it was pretty well done, particularly when they're able to stay within that. Now, the Pittsburgh story, they start in the first episode with an Uber Eats driver, and then in the second episode, they get into somebody who works for Aurora, which is autonomous vehicle driving company in the Strip, and so they follow a data manager, and then an episode after that, they sort of start following a senior engineer, and then in the episode after that, they follow the CEO of the company. So I thought it was pretty well done if you're into docuseries, and particularly about working. And it was just fun to see Obama on the test track at Hazelwood Green, where all the street signs are the names of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood characters. Queen Sarah Drive, King Friday Street, all that stuff. So, and because of the Uber Eats driver, there are tons of scenes shot on the streets of Pittsburgh. Between the Uber driver and the autonomous vehicle, Pittsburgh streets, you're like, oh, that's Lawrenceville. Oh, that's Squirrel Hill. It was fun to watch for that reason.
Yeah, I was just, I had to, you know, it's now, instead of writing a note, I had to put it something in my phone. I haven't seen it, so I need to watch it.
Yeah,
so
it comes out, streams Wednesday the 17th.
Okay, Wednesday. And where does it stream?
On Netflix.
On Netflix. Find. Okay. Good. I want to watch that.
And before we go real quick, Tim, Sally and I have talked over the years, and I will sometimes give her a tip. I think I suggested Hacks as a show for you to watch, and I think you enjoyed that, right?
Yeah, I watched the first season a little bit, like first season, a couple episodes. It was pretty good. I thought it, like you said, Sally, I didn't turn into a completist on it. I watched what I thought I needed my fill of, and then I moved on to something else, but I did like what I saw.
But
is it coming back with a second season, or has it already, I can't remember.
It did its second season last year. They were in the midst of filming season 3, but that got shut down by the writer's strike. So eventually.
Oh, okay. So I did see the second season.
You did see the second season, but I have a new.
Go ahead.
I have a new show to give you a heads up on, because now it is a family show, but I, as I recall, don't you have a background didn't you study Chinese in school? Am I right about that?
Yeah, Chinese and China, Japan, India. Yeah, okay. I was my master's was Asian studies.
So there's a new show coming on Disney Plus on the 24th of May that is based on a graphic novel, an acclaimed graphic novel, young adult, called American Born Chinese. And
did you say the 24th?
Yes, May 24th.
I've already written. I just looked. It's written down.
It's written down, so you already know. Okay.
Yep,
it's
I already really, wrote it down.
It is really well done. It is a good show that is, yes, it's a fantasy. Somebody from a celestial realm comes to Earth and interacts with an American teenager, but it is really well done. At times, it even reminds me a little bit of My So-Called Life, and yet it blends in this fantasy stuff extremely well. I absolutely thought it was a great show, so I'm recommending that.
And I know we're running out of time. One suggestion: has anybody seen Mrs. Davis? I think
yes, I watched all of it. Yes.
I love it. I want a second season. I love it. No,
I'm not sure that was.
Like it?
No, I liked it. I just don't. I don't know that it needs a second season. And given the lack of buzz, I'm not sure it will get one.
Man is so handsome. I love him.
Oh,
he was in The Right Stuff, the TV.
Yeah. What's his name?
McCormick or Mess?
Yeah. Jake McDormand.
McDormand. Yeah. That's it.
He's been in a lot of things over the years.
The only Miss Davis that I know was the teacher who was the part-time stripper in Varsity Blues. That's not what this is. Is it?
It is not.
No,
it is
okay.
Not.
Because if she got her own spinoff, I'd be in. I'd be all over watching that.
But see, I'll watch a show if it has a handsome guy in it, even if it sucks. I will watch it. That's how what an old lady I am.
Well, Sally, it was great catching up with you. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much, Sally.
Oh God, thank you. You're the best. I missed you so much, both of you. So I have to come out and visit you and Tim, you and your girlfriend and I have to have dinner. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Just don't talk her into taking a job in New York so she leaves me. Okay. Like I don't want this conversation to turn out. Like when you get a big market gig and can leave Tim, just do it. You know, just I don't want that to come up in conversation, okay?
I will. I no, no.
All right.
I won't say that. I promise.
This is Pittsburgh Pop. Rob and I will be back at it next week, and then we'll probably bump to Tuesday the week after that for Memorial Day. But we'll be scheduled as usual for next week. Rob, what do you have for the TV Talk and TV Q&A coming up this week?
We got more on the writer's strike, and this is Upfronts Week, where the broadcast networks announced their supposed fall schedules, which are not going to actually happen because of the writer's strike.
Wow.
I've got a piece coming up on Cam Johnson, the former Pitt Panther basketball player who's doing great things for the Rush for Crush bike race to help fight cancer, coming up on Saturday. Looking forward to writing that. And we'll preview Mitch Keller's next start, since that's the biggest thing going in Pittsburgh sports right now, is when this guy pitches. Aside from that, I don't know what else. We'll keep an eye on the general manager search for the Penguins as well. This is Pittsburgh Pop. Thanks again to Sally Wiggin. We'll be back with you next week here at Trib Live.